everybody. Welcome back to Solid Performance Solutions. Today, I am joined by Mike Mahar.
Mar. Yeah. Yeah, close enough.
I always add an extra syllable. I could have asked you that before I started. Running the Cartology Agency for the last 8.5 years, which is a long time to be kicking ass and surviving and guiding and making money for people on Amazon. So congrats on nearly 9 years.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks for having me. It's kind of crazy to think that it's been that long. And before that, I was selling on Amazon and other marketplaces. And so that's really where I cut my teeth. And what people talk about it being the wild, wild west. It really used to be take your own pictures, try to edit them a little bit, put your products up on Amazon and just kind of hope that you have the right keywords in there. And then they would sell. There was no ads. Yeah. There was nothing. It was crazy.
No ads. So nutty. Yeah. I know.
So it's evolved a lot. And I think people's biggest complaint used to be, you know, we don't have enough data from Amazon. And I'm like, now you have so much data, people get overwhelmed and you need to just pick a target and focus on that instead of trying to do every single thing that gets thrown at you.
Maybe that's a good place to start. Information overload, because we came out of Prime Day several weeks ago. We're heading towards Q4. Do you think, well, first of all, are there brands out there that aren't working with agencies like yours that should because they don't manage or interpret the information because there's so much of it, or they're just not attaching the right filters in the right places? Or is it just like way too much for any one business owner to contemplate?
I think you have two choices. It's hire someone internally or hire an agency like ourselves externally. I think there's a couple reasons why people want to bring something and do something in-house. They have this idea that if they own it in-house, it's theirs. And they don't have to be beholden to anyone else, and they'll be able to just do it super well. And the problem with that is Amazon is so complex. We just talked about it evolving over the past, you know, decade. Yeah. It's so complex that the things that worked a couple of years ago or people's experiences from a couple of years ago, very different than what is happening now. And if you've just gotten into the game and you don't understand the evolution, I think that that is a huge disadvantage. So there's a learning curve. There's an opportunity cost of trying to build something out internally. You have to start with hiring a great person, then building a process and building a team behind it. So like all that stuff has a high opportunity cost. And then the other reason why they might not hire someone externally is they've worked with someone externally and they got burned. I talk about agency burn all the time. Yeah. And I don't want to poo-poo on agencies because I'm an agency and I believe there are good ones out there. I happen to know the owners and be friends with them. But there are a lot of agencies that are just trying to get the next client or promising stuff that they can't deliver on. And imagine going through a bad breakup and then trying to go and find love again. It's like that. Now, you're putting matchmakers. Exactly. And you're putting your past issues with someone on this new person, which I'm okay to deal with because I truly believe that we're going to be able to help people and partner with the right people. Yeah. But it's almost like going through therapy in a way, like dealing with those past problems. Like it's kind of crazy. So yeah, there are certainly people that should be working with agencies and they need to find someone who wants to partner with them and who wants to be able to help them.
Yeah. This is why I love having you on this podcast. You put it in those terms that are easy to understand and also kind of
much more relatable.
Humorous.
Therapy. Everyone needs therapy. I need therapy. So if you haven't gotten it, maybe now's the time to go.
Well, I like the matchmaking. Like, I wish there were a service that took brands and paired them with agencies instead of brands trying a round robin. It's funny because at this time of year, people who thought their Prime Day was underwhelming are more likely to be agency shopping, right?
For sure.
Like, oh, we're kind of not happy with the way Prime Day went. But there's a limit to that, too. You can't just say, well, our last quarter was down. I think it's the agency. I'm going to try a new agency. What are you going to try 3 agencies in 3 years?
Well, people will do that. And part of the problem is maybe the agency has given you advice or recommendation and you don't take it. And then performance goes bad. Now their agencies are going to mess stuff up. We mess stuff up and we have to take ownership of that stuff. But we are super open and transparent about like, here's a problem. We need to address it. Here's our recommendation. People can take it or not take it, but we're super clear on the front end and document everything because I want to be able to say, here was our recommendation. We didn't do this. And that's why we don't think it worked. We need to go back and try this now. And a lot of people, I think a lot of agencies have people working for them that are just taking orders from the clients. And that's probably one of the worst things that you could do because they hired you for a reason. You have to be the expert. And if you're taking orders from them, you're now putting strategy in their hands when maybe it shouldn't be.
I know. I've dealt with some agencies who an ASIN was taken down, or God forbid, the entire account, or Amazon was threatening to take the account down, like the account health assurance, and they gave me 72 hours. And the agency didn't want to tick off the client, so they just did whatever the client wanted to do on the appeal, and it got rejected. And I was sort of like, that's where you need to step in and say, well, I know you want to say these things in the appeal, but that's not a solid strategy, or it's not the strategy we would recommend, or it's not the strategy we've used successfully in the past. I don't mind agencies doing appeals for people, but it's like, don't just cave in and do whatever they want on the appeal. Just because you try to keep the client, first of all, if they get suspended, you're not keeping them anyway. It's interesting, some of the things you bring up, where we do this too. We give advice to people on appeals. Sometimes they don't hire us for all of it. They just hire us at the beginning to consult, or they hire us on some of it, let's say. And then we look at the final product and we're like, well, you took 3 out of 10 of our suggestions.
Right.
So yeah, it didn't quite pan out. It's the same thing with Prime Day sales, right? I mean,
and it's always going to come back to the agency, whether it's your fault or not. You're going to be the person that they point to. So you have to be on your game. And it really is not about finger pointing. It's just saying, it's a little bit of CYA. Like, here's what we said, here's what we wanted to happen. And I think also giving them options with the outcomes. I would talk sometimes with people on my team, and I'd be like, what are the client's options? Their only option is to spend and to grow. And I'm like, that's not true. Their options are spend and grow, but it's going to hurt profitability, or they don't spend and they don't grow. They're more profitable, but they're not going to see the growth they want.
Yeah.
Or they don't spend at all and they totally decline as everyone else grows. Like, those are the options, but you have to put that forth and frame it. Here's what you said your goal is. And we get goal dissonance, is maybe that's not the right term, but like, hey, we want to grow. Great. It's going to cost you money and it's going to hurt your profitability initially, but we can improve that. Great. And then as they spend, man, this is really killing profitability. Okay, well, that's true. We said that. Are you still wanting to be, is this still the goal? Yes. Okay, well, then this is what's going to happen. And there's just a lot of lack of reconciliation of those goals versus like the reality of the situation.
For sure. Yeah. And it's with what we do, of course, sometimes people aren't listening or aren't absorbing it because of the panic, and they're blocked, like their ears closed, because they're thinking of the timeline and the deadlines and what if we get rejected and worst case scenario, which is why sometimes we do poo-poo. You said you don't poo-poo other agencies. We sometimes have to poo-poo prior consultants who touched it.
Yeah.
Oh, if they made, well, first of all, if we inherit a train wreck, it's like, well, this wasn't a train wreck before, but you didn't come to us first. But secondly, it makes it a steeper hill to climb. And what we do sometimes is the full account suspension. So it's like the entire success and life of the business is at stake.
Yeah.
So it's not just like you missed a few sales and you can do a better job next Prime Day. There might not be another Prime Day. So that's why sometimes we have to be much more critical. You know, I know you don't want to badmouth agencies, but
I can certainly say this was not the right thing to do. And when we go in an audit account, I'm like, look, whatever your current partner's doing, they're not doing this, they're not doing this, they're not doing this. And here's why this is a problem. It may not be a personal attack on that agency, but I certainly will also say, hey, we think this is good. I like this. I like this. I like this. And I think that provides better transparency for the people we're working with, because I think a lot of times they get in the room with an agency and they're being pitched on something, which I don't have a problem with. I pitch my services to people when it's appropriate, but they're being told, we're going to 5X you and we're going to do this and we're going to give you all this stuff. And look at all these cool tools and metrics and stuff that we have. You don't need all those things to be successful. We grew and scaled a business from 0 to $72 million last year. No automation. It was all me that was running the ads.
Whoa.
Like, you don't need to have all the highest like tech tools. You need to have a good brand and you need to know what you're doing when it comes to execution.
You went from 0 to 72 to high 8 figures.
They had a great brand.
I mean, they obviously have a worthwhile product.
They have a very worthwhile product. Yeah. They were in retail nationally and we technically started with like the end of 2023, but they had a great brand, but we were super intentional about how we approach things. And I was clear in the front end, like, it's going to cost money to get where we need to go. And we're going to have these rank campaigns that are going to be very, very costly because the CPCs are naturally going to be higher. So your ROAS is lower, but it's going to put us where we want to be organically. And there's another brand that was like number one in the category at the time. And by May or June, when we became number one in the whole category, I think they were taken by surprise. And but it was all very intentional. We were super upfront about what it took, but it started with a great brand. I can only sell so much crap. polish a turd more than it can be polished.
And it depends on their competition too.
Yes.
Once they start selling on Amazon, there's competitors that come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, we had a bunch of knockoff. They had a renewable piece of this item that they were selling. And so they had knockoff people that were just tons of manufactured in China. I mean, you could tell because of the, you know, the quote unquote brand name, but they were knocking stuff off all the time. And like one would go down and two would pop up, or at least one would pop back up. But we were also intentional about targeting those ASINs, and we converted super well against them, even though their price was like 50% of ours. Yeah. So like, there's always ways to like approach stuff too.
Yeah, for sure. And is this, I mean, it's, we're talking in August. Is this a good time of year to talk to brands about Q4, or is it, do you consider it kind of too late if they haven't worked with you up until this point?
I don't think it's ever too late, but we just have to be clear that like, if someone's coming to us, let's say in June, they're like, we want to have a great Prime Day. Like, just so you know, like a lot of the planning time has passed, so we can do what we can, but it's probably not going to be what you would expect. And maybe that outsells me or sells me out of something, but I'd rather be honest and not have, you know, something be disappointing. But certainly I think now is a good time to be planning for what you want to do in Q4 promotion wise and when you want to send in inventory. But I think it's months in advance, like what you've done this whole year and how visible you are and how many people you've converted and what your current strategy and approach looks like on advertising, what your PDPs look like. I mean, I think you could optimize your PDPs right up until Prime Day or, you know, fall Prime Day or Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and that would improve your conversion rate that day. But all of the work that you've done leading up to that, I mean, that's like an ongoing thing. So even if it doesn't pan out like you want it to, regroup and say, okay, what did we not do? What could we have done sooner? I think the biggest thing is like get your ads running now to get your products visible so you can be, even if you don't get sales, you get added to cart. And then make sure you send an inventory as soon as possible. Nail that stuff down. Like if you can send an inventory now and it's within your storage capacity, like do it.
Is that one of the kind of main mistakes you see people making heading into Q4? They just didn't send enough in early enough?
Didn't send enough in because things start to slow down and they maybe underestimated what would be needed, and also just not deciding on your promos early enough. Like be clear, like if you want to run a lightning deal, I think those expire for many people August 21st for fall Prime Day, Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Like a Black Friday, Cyber Monday has a little bit more time.
I think
September. But you got to confirm those soon. You can run a Prime exclusive discount anytime you want. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just people maybe not wanting to commit on stuff either. Like, I don't want to have too much inventory. I'm like, do you want to have no inventory? Like, that's a problem. So
they're afraid of the storage fees. Is that kind of like they don't, it doesn't get sold. And then they, not only do they have the pain of not selling it, they have the pain of the fees.
I feel like storage fees is probably a portion of it, but I think it's more like they're sitting on inventory. Maybe that inventory could go to someone else and they're thinking about different channels too, depending upon what channels they're in.
Yeah. Any other, while we're on the topic, any other kind of easy checklist tips for Q4? Because this is kind of the month where many of those decisions will be finalized.
Yeah. Anyone who has access to Amazon Marketing Cloud, I think it's gotten a lot of hype. I think it can be super helpful, but it's not something you need to look at every single week. I don't know that it's going to be changing that drastically, but I would just say dig into some of that information that you have and look at like, what's our current ad mix like? Are we really converting at the level that we could if we were doing more? Or are we really converting at the level that we want to? Just running sponsored products alone reaches a lot of people, but your conversion rate of all the people that have viewed your ads are typically pretty low, like under 1%. And if you start to layer in more ad types, you typically see a stronger conversion rate. Now, of course, it has to make economic sense. But like, look at that and determine, like, are we going after the right things and start making tweaks and adjustments now when other people are kind of maybe pulling back on spend, preparing for those big quarters. Like this might be a time to lean in and look at expanding a little bit and trying to have more of a net in your category.
Cool. Yeah. And then I would imagine you talk a lot about ad spend. I'm used to seeing people say to their ads managers, at least, we're planning on increasing our ad spend. And then it becomes a question of how much they're increasing it. Do you think there's too much focus on the percentage of increase and not on how well you spend?
I think that certainly could be an issue, like, you know, going into it, probably what your leading campaigns are and just being prepared to spend more. But I think the, even pre the day, like, if you want to be more visible for people and get into carts, like, are you willing to spend more leading up to it and deal with lower conversions? But you know you're running a big promotion, and so people are going to get notified if maybe they do add to cart. Mm-hmm. I have this term called cart squatter. My wife is a professional cart squatter, and she does it really well. And so she gets deals, crazy deals. Someone, I told someone they were cart squatter, and I think they got a little offended initially, but then I explained what it was. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I do that. Yeah, that's, I was like, it's not derogatory, I promise. Right. But yeah, being visible ahead of time, that to me, running stuff through, you know, end of September, or beginning of October, just so you are, along with all the other work you've done, that I think is super important. But yeah, spending officially, because you also know day of, you're not going to see all the attribution. It's like, if you have a good ROAS at that point, and that's one of the things you're measuring, okay, like, yeah, you're going to deal with higher CPCs if you're raising your bids. And so you're understanding of that, but like, you're not going to get true real-time information until 7 to 14 days later. So yeah. I think efficient spend, and what are you planning on spending more of? Are you wanting to spend more on branded? Are you wanting to spend more on rank? Are you wanting to go more category visible? Do you know competitors have historically run more deals? So you, and your deal's going to be better, so you want to show up next to them. Like, those are all the things. I think just what you want to spend on and what you're willing to deal with ahead of time is super clear, so that when you get into those days, and just like you talked about agencies not wanting to piss off the brands they're working with, you get into that situation and the brand starts to make a call. You're like, hey, we talked about this. This is what you wanted to do. Are you really wanting to do this? Because this is going to lead to, you know, decreased efficiency and then decreased profitability. Oh yeah, well, maybe that's not what we want to do. But like, just being clear about expectations in the front end.
Nice. Okay. And then kind of the last question I had was AI. Are people overly fixated on it in terms of, I generated a bunch of new images with AI and I want you to spend half an hour today going through those, and then they come back with another image. I mean, I know you're doing some of that probably yourself, but is there an obsession with, like, you know, Amazon's AI or using their own AI for images, for keywords? Do you think that's the right place for them to spend that much time, or is it kind of right now still developing and evolving and it's sort of more of a fad and it'll be more fine-tuned later on once people kind of figure out what works and what doesn't?
Yeah, I think there's certainly a fixation on the tech side, the shiny object syndrome. And for me, it always comes back to, like, what's your objective? Like, let's talk about, not if your objective is, I just want to implement AI into our process, I think you're missing the point. What are you trying to achieve here? And if the idea is, we want to achieve high quality images with a lower budget in less amount of time, then yeah, let's look at utilizing AI technology. If it's, hey, our brand ethos is, we want real people shots, we're willing to spend the money on production because we believe that it's important from an authenticity standpoint, then maybe integrating it is not the right approach. So we are utilizing it in images, but I also think turning over, people see AI as like a taking a human's job. And I talked about this on my podcast, The Longer Game. If AI can truly take your job, maybe it's not a job that a human should really be having. Like, you should be doing strategic level stuff, guiding it. So like, we utilize it in some of the stuff we do, but it's not like I rely upon it. And especially generative AI, like, it can, for someone who knows nothing about a subject, it can give you a lot of great information. But if you're wanting to, like, write me an appeal, generative AI, it's not going to know what to do. It doesn't have that deep level of expertise because it doesn't have access to all that stuff that's on your Google Drive or my Google Drive. Like, it's just
not yet.
Not yet. Maybe Gemini is going to start tapping into that. But like, that to me is what the focus should be, is what is your end goal? And so I do think there's a hyper fixation. I think it's cool that Amazon has that technology. We're not leveraging Amazon stuff. We're leveraging other things like ChatGPT's image generators become really, really great. And so that's something we utilize to maybe save money on a model or something like that. We still need high quality, like, product photos as well. Yeah. So I think it's just finding what your end goal is and how do we utilize it to help us to be more efficient or more cost effective. That to me is where people miss out on actually integrating it.
Awesome. Well, good talking to you today.
Yeah, man.
Michael Marr of Cartology.
That's right, Michael Marr.
Michael Marr, got it right this time. What, where do people reach you? Best to reach you.
You can email me if you want, michael@thinkcartology.com. It'll go right into my inbox. You can message me on LinkedIn. I spend a little bit of time on X, but mostly talking about bourbon, which maybe you and I talk about later. But yeah, so those are the places that you can reach me.
Oh, yes. And when I finish this Q4, I'm going to make sure I have enough bourbon at the ready.
Yes.
Maybe even during Q4.
And I will assist you. I will assist and make sure you are plenty stocked.
I know. The one you recommended, I haven't actually bought yet. So I'm working on that.
There's always more to buy.
Just tell them to keep making it. I picked up
a couple of bottles since you and I talked last. So.
All right. Next episode, we'll do bourbon tips. But for now, thanks for your Q4 advice. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we will catch you next time.